Welcome back to Backstage. This is a show about what's going on behind the scenes at Relay FM, where we also share our knowledge to help you start a podcast. My name is Mike Hurley, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-founder and co-host and co-friend, Mr. Stephen Hackett.
What does co-friend mean?
I have more than one friend.
Oh.
Or maybe we share a friend?
We share many friends.
There we go. So we're co-friends.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
We're co-friends of Federico.
What's going on at Relay FM this month, Stephen Hackett?
Well, it's July, and that means that it's almost fall. And so we are turning our attention to the podcast-a-thon coming in September. We just spoke about that for half an hour before hitting record on this.
We just had a meeting.
We did.
We had a Trello board open and everything. If you're not familiar, last year in September, we raised money for St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital for Childhood Cancer Awareness Month that happens in September. And we raised over $300,000 and collectively blew everybody's brains.
Mm-hmm.
It was an unbelievable success. We were always planning on doing it again after the success of last year. We were hoping that we'd be together, but we're not. So we're now working out how we can do a remote podcast-a-thon. So that's like a big challenge that we're working on starting now. Now we've got kind of the new membership stuff out the door. But in between then and now, we have our annual member specials. So a bunch of shows will be doing crossovers through August and September. So yeah, it's a lot of stuff happening over the summer.
It is. It's a busy time. Just a lot of stuff. Fall will be here before we know it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all very exciting. I'm recording a couple of those annual specials later this week. They'll be fun to get out the door starting in August. How are you coming on yours?
Oh, pretty good, actually. I've recorded, I think, two of them so far. I've got another one this week and another couple more. I'm happy with how they're turning out so far. I think people are going to be very excited about some of them.
They're a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. So what are we talking about for our backstage podcast topic theme?
Well, it's ironic that you had to ask because we're talking about episode preparation.
It was peculiar to prepare an episode about episode preparation, but we did it anyway.
Very meta,
mm-hmm.
as the kids say. Is that what the kids call it?
It's the Spider-Man thing, you know?
I'm not familiar with his work.
It's like the Spider-Man pointing at the Spider-Man.
Yes. And they're both saying, I wish I was Batman.
That is a ridiculous thing to say.
Is it?
Yes, Spider-Man is better than Batman.
Come on!
Pretty much every way, in pretty much every single way. Like, what way is Batman better than Spider-Man? Tell me one of them.
He's cooler.
Why?
Well, because he talks like this.
He doesn't talk like that. But he's dressed in black.
Yes, he does.
He has a cool car. He's a self-made man.
Spider-Man doesn't even need a car, because a cool car, a car of any kind.
Spider-Man is an accident of nature. Batman is a self-made man.
No, he's not.
Don't you respect pulling yourself up from your bootstraps?
He's actually the opposite of a self-made man because everything was left to him by his father.
He's a self-made hero.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
He took the money that was left him when his parents were tragically murdered and turned it into something awesome.
Just because you get bitten by a radioactive spider doesn't mean that you have to become a superhero. You could just be super powerful
or,
and just leave it at that.
Or dead. Probably.
Or dead, yeah.
We should move on.
Our first question this time comes from SM, and they want to know, I know from talking to people who work in talk radio that the rule of thumb is you need about 1 hour's preparation for every hour you're on the air. Do you find that the same applies to podcasting?
I think for our type of podcasting, that sounds about right. And I think it's probably divided across the host's time. So like, if a show is an hour and a half, there's probably an hour and a half total preparation for something like Connected.
I didn't think about like person hours.
Yeah.
I'd never thought of it that way before, but that makes sense. Because I would have said like for me, it's about 50%. So it goes like 50% preparation to the amount of time that I'm recording.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe sometimes like 30 to 50%. But yeah, that kind of, it really differs from week to week.
It does.
So like, if I look at a show, let's look at Upgrade.
Okay.
Like I did an hour's prep for Upgrade this morning, but last week was 90 minutes. So, you know, it really differs from episode to episode, I think. But I would say it's, for me, the rule is about half of the amount of time that I'm recording I would have done prep for. We'll talk about what that prep looks like as we go through this discussion mm-hmm. today. But yeah, if we're talking about everybody involved, it probably does work out to be about equal parts.
Yeah, that's kind of how I think about it. And there's obviously variation. There's obviously the huge a huge factor that we've done this for a really long time now. And so there are certain types of shows that we can lean more on our existing knowledge and understanding as opposed to other things that may require a lot of research or a lot of reading or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it varies, but I think as a general rule, that's probably about right for us.
Yeah, I think so.
So Quinn writes, I know you have many different kinds of shows, but do you try to keep your prep workflow and tools fairly standardized across the podcast formats, or do they vary widely? What do you think?
Interesting. So there's some exceptions, but by and large, my shows feature a model of I am constantly taking in news and ideas for the shows throughout the week or throughout the month. And I will save those links to a note, which is where I'll also put any like random ideas or thoughts. And then the day of the show, I will take those thoughts and links and I will expand upon them and read more about them and put everything into a shared Google Doc is where everything goes right now. That is by and large the process for pretty much every show that I do. For collaboration, Google Docs pretty much always sits in the middle of the hosts, but it's not like I sit down on a Wednesday morning and I'm like, let me try and come up with a bunch of stuff for Connected. Like, I've always got a pool of things that I'm constantly adding to and drawing from, if that makes sense.
Yeah, mine is very similar. I'm sort of always absorbing information for my tech shows. A lot of times I add them directly to Google Docs, mostly because I work on the Mac, and so that's not that tricky. It's a little bit worse on iOS because Google Docs is bad on iOS. But I also use Tot or Notes, kind of something in between the Google Doc and wherever I found the story or the item that I think we should talk about. There are a few differences. Ungenius is obviously different because I write those. They're scripted. Mm-hmm. And those, I basically sit down for 30 minutes it's 30 minutes to an hour per episode of reading and writing. And that's that also kind of blows up the amount of time you prep for. Ungenius is like my outsider for everything because it's so different. But like I said, Google Docs is in the middle of it. And even my non-tech shows, Google Docs is at the center of it. You know, I do some stuff on The Incomparable and we use Google Docs. So it's really a great tool for multiple people accessing the same document over and over.
Stephen has a question which is similar, but there is some a different slant on it. Do you have any differences in your preparation process for shows that are wildly different from each other?
Well, like I said, Ungenius is obviously different because sometimes we talk about the topic, but most of the time I just pick a topic off the list and go off and write it.
Yeah.
Mac Power Users also stands out here because David and I usually are working on more than one outline at a time, sometimes several outlines, because a lot of our like deep dives, like if we do something like Keyboard Maestro, that's going to take weeks to really prep and hone what we want to talk about. And so that one is very collaborative. David and I talk throughout the week and on like all the Google Docs that we're dealing with most of the time. You know, that kind of ebbs and flows based on what we're doing, but it is a lot more back and forth than some of my others.
You have calls sometimes, don't you, to talk about episodes?
Yeah, so about every quarter, in fact, as we record this, we're doing it today, we have a quarterly call for MPU to like fill out the schedule and touch base on a bunch of things. So we really planned that out because MPU is so varied in the types of shows that we do. We just have to work in advance.
Yeah, I think there are times of the year where me and Jason do a similar thing, but we tack it onto the end of the recording. So,
yeah.
You know, like right now, we're in the summer of fun on Upgrade.
Summer of fun!
Thank you very much. That's you'll be hearing from my lawyers. it's the same guy. where we basically try and come up with different slants on topics because there is typically less tech news during the summer. So we want to come up with things and be a little more creative. So that means that we will kind of plan out those episodes sometimes a year in advance. You know, it can be any period of time. We'll like start putting stuff in and adding to a document that we have, which basically just has basic notes for what we want an episode to maybe look like. Right. So we'll just write down like, this is an idea. This is an idea. And then we'll start planning those out for over the summer weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I do that's a little bit more future looking than some of my other shows. I would say for the stuff that I do regularly, the show that is the most different is probably Cortex, because it's less influenced by news than most of my other shows. And sometimes, you know, like frequently can be relating to something that's happened in Mayan or Gray's work lives, but also very frequently we would do topics that are larger ideas, which is kind of a similar thing to what you're probably looking at with Mac Power Users too, which is like, you know, you'll pick a, like you just did like a notes episode, but it wasn't really related to any news. So you have to come up with things you think might be interesting when they're kind of topic-based like that, and then put the work in to making sure if they're even right. And there's been many topics that I've spent a lot of time on for Cortex, and they just didn't feel right, you know, when I put them together. So they never even made it to the document. So yeah, that's like really a lot of this is understanding what your episodes are going to look like and then trying to build an episode preparation process that fits that. Like news-based shows have an inherent ease to coming up with stuff, right? Like you talk about what has occurred in the industry that you're covering. But the problem with that can be there has to be news,
which is why something like the Summer of Fun has occurred, right? Because the the summer is quieter in the tech industry, and we got a show to put out every week, and so we need those other things.
Yep.
That can be a challenge, and I think it's also why, like, if you go back to the episode we talked about format and show ideas, where if you have a format that's flexible enough, you can accommodate things like the Summer Fun trademark Relay FM 2017. Okay, up next. We have a question from Matthew. Is there any automation involved in your process? I'm also curious how and when you communicate about the topics ahead of time and confirm with each other that it's what you want to do.
I don't think there's any particular automation. You know, like I have shortcuts that open show documents and stuff like that, but I don't have, you know, like for example, I could, I don't know, add my links to a text document where some automations run to them and they're put somewhere else. But I don't do anything like that. The other part of this question, which is how we communicate ahead of time and confirm stuff, that's just all done through chat, really. You know, like we'll talk on iMessage or in Slack or something like that with co-hosts to work out what we're going to talk about on which episode, if that's needed. But a lot of the time, there isn't really communication specifically about a topic. It's kind of in the document and then we all work on it. I think by and large, everybody tends to just agree that we know what we're doing here. And if somebody brings a topic to the show, let's give them the time to do that. That's kind of how I think.
Yeah. Something like Connected, for instance, very often we have three topic slots usually, and a lot of shows, I've brought one, you've brought one, and Federico's, our co-friend, has brought one, and it just falls into place. And a lot of that is we've done this for a long time. But yeah, it doesn't have to be a big, like, we now announce the meeting of the co-host, right? It's just Slack and iMessage and sending links throughout the week, and it just sort of happens organically.
I understand that thinking in a newer show, or, you know, if it's someone new that you're working with, having those conversations can be useful, even if you just do it before the episode begins to make sure that everyone's on the same page, because it can be difficult if one person brings a topic and the other person either A, doesn't want to do it, or B, doesn't care about it, because that can mean that you end up working way harder.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there is a basic level of communication is important, but over time you kind of learn the tastes and preferences for your co-host. A really good example of that is, I like folding phones, and and you know, talking about Android phones is something I find interesting. And I quickly found out that Jason didn't want to talk about it.
Mm-mm.
You didn't want to talk about Mm-mm. it. Federico didn't want to talk about Mm-mm. it. So I ended
up
moving
those. So you made a podcast.
I made a whole new show with Austin Evans. But no, like, that was a thing that I did do, but that wasn't necessarily going to happen. I just learned that over time, my other co-host didn't want to talk about those things. So it was, it kind of ended up feeling like there isn't, I shouldn't bring this to the show if I want a discussion. If I just want to make a point on my own,
mm-hmm.
and you guys go, yeah, okay, that's interesting, then that's one thing. But it's about understanding that if I'm bringing a topic to the show and I want there to be discussion about it, I have to be confident in knowing that my co-hosts want to talk about that and engage with me in that and have opinions about it. And that comes through experience. But a way that you can gauge that and get that experience is having those conversations beforehand.
Yeah, and there was a question sort of specifically about this by Saber. If someone doesn't want to cover something, what do you do? I think it's about communicating, right? If we had planned something and Federico said to us, you know, I don't think this is right for the show, or I don't want to talk about it, we would respect that, right? It's not yep. We want to work together as a team. And yes, there are sometimes topics where two of us are more interested than the third, especially on Connected, but that also works for the brand of the show a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's kind of funny if I go quiet for a segment, right? I think it's kind of funny if Federico goes quiet for a segment.
I never get to be quiet for a segment.
Yeah, because Federico,
like, you're the child.
Middle. You're the yeah. middle, and Federico and I are on the ends.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
You're the fulcrum on the seesaw, you know?
I kind of, now I'm thinking of it, I can't think of any topic that would be brought to Connected that I would have. Maybe I'm just a loud mouth. That's the problem. I just can't keep my mouth shut, and I'll have something to say about anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I do agree with you. Like, it is a, you should get an idea over time, but also if somebody doesn't want to cover something, like, think about what that might mean, why they might not want to do it, especially if this is a new relationship. And don't, like, push people into it, because it's not going to be useful. It will end up being an antagonistic. I mean, I've made that mistake in the past, you know, of like, no, this is really important to me. And you're trying to fight for a conversation with someone that they're just not interested in, you know?
And I don't think people want to listen to that, right? People want to listen
mm-hmm,
to people mm-hmm. talk about things they're interested in. And I think there's a real element, at least to the types of shows that we do, that people want to hear us explore our friendship too, right? And if we're,
yeah,
not that we don't argue, because we definitely do, but if someone's being drug into a conversation, you can just sense that. And I don't think it works.
Yeah, well,
because
the debate that we will have typically, you can tell, is like a passionate debate, right? Like, we all have our own sides of an argument. But you can, if the fight is just like coming from a place of, I don't care about this, that's a very different kind of not exciting thing. Because, like, you can have shows where, like, the conceit of the show is to fight about topics, right? Like, that's a thing. People could like that. I'm sure,
sure.
people do like that.
Yeah.
But that's the conceit of that show, right? If you're typically, everybody's having conversations about something, and then one person is just like, I don't want to talk about this, and so now you're on your own, it can be peculiar to do that, I think. It can sound weird. Sounds out of place. Benjamin asks, what do your show docs actually look like? I always hear about them, but starting my own show, I don't feel very organized. What have you learned that could help us keep our show documents useful and not a burden?
I think there's some really simple things here. If you're using something like Google Docs, take the time to create text styles so you have headers and breaks and, you know, you're repeating things just nicely formatted. You can, one thing we do on Mac Power Users is we actually, unlike my other shows, we have a new Google Doc every week. On Connected, we're just like recycling the same Google Doc for years on end until it just, something happens and it breaks and I have to start a new one.
It's always when Federico creates some kind of rich text automation.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to pipe things in from Apple Notes into Google Docs. Like, no, you broke everything.
Everything. We had to delete that document. Mm-hmm. It got so bad.
But on MPU, and I think it's because I do that show with David Sparks, who's an attorney. Like, he has an affinity for nicely laid out documents. We actually have templates that we copy and then we come off the template.
What a bunch of nerds.
And there, it's a very lovely Google Doc. But spend uh-huh. that time on formatting. Use things like bulleted lists in Google yeah. Docs. Have clear sections. And figure out what you need over time. Like for Backstage, for instance, we don't have any of that stuff. It's basically just a list of bulleted questions and like we've made comments that we wanted to touch on. But if you have a longer show or you have dedicated segments, that formatting can really save your bacon. Even in a way, it's as simple as where am I in the show? Okay, I've got two of these sections left. I can see that in the sidebar. That stuff is really useful.
Yeah, I am such a proponent for the bulleted list. You know, mm-hmm. It's like a very simple outline that you make. The reason for this is keep things short, keep sentences. Don't write out paragraphs and then just read them aloud on the show, right? Like part of the outlining process, part of the episode preparation process is me going through my thinking and writing down some basic notes, but they're notes to anchor me to a point. So if I get lost in the conversation or want to move on from the conversation, I have an idea of where I want to go next. But I like the conversations to feel natural. So I will talk with co-hosts and have points that will lead me to places where I want to go to, but not completely bog the whole thing down into being a written out thing. Unless that is the show's conceit, like Ungeniused. But even in that show, we very frequently improvise on what's written in the document.
Mm-hmm.
And that can only come from the fact that we have both read through the document, right? And we know where the show's going and stuff like that. So I find that very important. But yeah, having really simple kind of outlines and bulleted lists can be very, very helpful. And it's something that I do for all of my shows, every show. I have these types of lists. Like Stephen said, even a show like this where we're answering questions, we've gone through, we've outlined the questions, we've read through them all in advance, so we kind of have some thoughts in our mind. And where things, where we want to make specific points, we've also noted them down to remind us when we get to that question. Like for this one from Anna.
Oh, that's good.
For interview shows, do you research guests and script out specific questions, or do you allow for things to naturally come up in conversation? Stephen has made some notes here, which is why I'm asking the question to Stephen.
Yeah, so Mac Power Users has interview shows. About every three mm-hmm. or four episodes, we have an interview. We do research our guests. So we will read their sites, watch their videos, listen to their podcasts. I've read a book for an interview. That was years
Did
ago,
you?
Before MPU.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what that was.
That's serious.
It was way back in the day. Because I want to be respectful of their time, and I want to have good questions. I want to kind of know what they are about and be able to pull things out of them. Oddly, it also makes it way easier to introduce somebody. If someone says, oh, I do this, this, and this, and then there's this weird thing they list last. If you did the research, you already knew about that and you could have questions about it. You know, if someone says, oh, I'm a writer, a podcaster, and I'm a monster truck driver. Well, if you know that in advance, you're not going to sound like you're caught off guard on the show and be scrambling for questions as you record.
Never be caught off guard by a monster truck driver.
No, you should know that.
It's a good life lesson.
It's also just good, for your like physical health, you know, not to be smushed. I took my youngest son to a monster truck rally last year.
Oh.
He was really into monster trucks. He did not like it in person, and we left early. And he hasn't played with monster trucks since. Very loud. Mm-hmm. So on MPU, we actually take this further than just good research and having questions ready in advance. We actually generally have a call with the guest the week before and chat for a while. Normally, David does this. Sometimes it's both of us. Sometimes it's me. And then we work on the shared Google Doc with the guest, if they want access to it. Some people say, no, I don't want to see in advance. I just want to be able to talk. Some people want to go through it with us in advance.
Yeah, if I ever do an interview, like if I'm ever being interviewed, I never want to see the questions beforehand.
Yeah, that's how I feel too.
Yeah.
The trick is knowing when a good side conversation is happening and should be promoted to even take the place of other prepared questions. So we always have questions that we want to ask and places we want to get to. But if somebody does bring something up or a tangent happens, you have to know when you should follow them and when you shouldn't. And that just takes practice. But absolutely, you should have research ready. You should have some questions ready, but also allow for things to naturally come up.
So I'm similar in some ways, but I have a couple of little differences that I wanted to note. One of the things that I really believe in, I think I maybe have mentioned it on this show already, but when interviewing someone, to kind of have done enough research, like you say, that I can ask a question and then have a good feeling for what the follow-up question will be,
mm-hmm.
the kind of what they will answer, and then write my follow-up. So I have done enough preparation that I'm not going to get really caught off guard by something and also have way more questions than I'm ever going to need because of that, which I like. Like, I always love having more questions than I can ask in the time period, so then I can pick and choose what I want depending on where the conversation goes. And if a conversation is like skipping a big chunk, I'll just remove it, right? Like, gone. Don't go back, right? Like, we're on this interesting tangent, but I must go back to the outline, right? Like, no, let it go where it's going to go. And then you can bring the conversation back when there's a natural point to do that. The one other thing that whenever I was interviewing people and having guests, there was one thing I would avoid, which was previous interviews. I wouldn't listen to or watch previous interviews because I felt like it constrained me a little bit. Like, oh, I can't ask this question because I've heard it asked elsewhere. And I see both schools of thought in this idea, but I felt like for me, it kind of would like poison the well a little bit. And I would end up maybe not asking questions that I could have gone into interesting places because I thought, oh, they must get this asked to them all the time. But I see both schools of thought in that, but that's just was my own personal taste.
I generally agree with that. I've definitely checked out previous interviews before if I'm really unfamiliar with them. But mm-hmm. in addition to poisoning the well of your questions, you sort of make a unconscious assumption that your listeners have also heard this person be interviewed before.
Good point.
And you may skip over basic questions because you've internalized that. And so it is tricky. Sometimes I'll do it, but often I don't.
All right. So what have we got next? Question from Rob. Rob wants to know, how do you strike the balance between strong preparation and keeping the episode feeling conversational?
I think it's like
have a conversation is an important part of it.
You're not reading bullet points back and forth.
Yeah.
I think I've said it before on Backstage is that an outline is sort of like, you know, the flags on a ski slope. You want to hit them on your way down, but it's not a set path. You can mm-hmm. choose how to get between them as you go. And podcasting is special because of the conversation. Like you said, people want to have and hear a conversation. And so we view outlines and bulleted lists and things like that as these are things that I want to try to hit in the conversation. And I have them there as reminders that, hey, I had this, what I thought was a clever thought, or I did this research. I want to make sure that I get this right. It's not a script. It's not a complete word-for-word transcript of what the podcast is. It is things we want to hit on our way down the mountain, and we're willing to do some cool stuff in between them. You know, flips and stuff. Whatever you do skiing down a mountain. Winter Olympics are the best.
Yeah, I was going to say, you love the Winter Olympics. You should know all the moves. If I can add another metaphor onto our already very strong metaphor, I consider the outlines as guides, not rules. For a conversation. So, you know, they're there and I will use them and I can go back to them. But if what I'm attempting to do is have a conversational feeling show, having the conversation and letting it go where it goes is great. However, what I will add is by having done the research, by having done the preparation, your brain is ready to have a good conversation because you've already got things in your mind that you can draw from. Just like having done the work beforehand makes sense. Like you revise for a test. Right? Like that you read up before you go and have a test of some kind. It's a similar idea. The ideas are fresh in your mind, the thoughts and the research is fresh in your mind because you've done the preparation beforehand. Where like a lot of the time you won't even need what you've written in your document because it's already in your brain. But you've got to do that for it to be there. We have done shows together in our old days where we would try and draw from the information as we were recording and it was new to us. Mm-hmm. Does not work, mm-mm. right? Does not work. You have to have done the work beforehand if you want to sound smart. Zach asks, how do you plan or deal with news that is breaking before, just before, or even during a show that you think is worth covering?
This happens to us pretty often. Because mm-hmm. most of our tech shows are news-based and you're sitting down to record or recording and Apple or Google or Microsoft, they do something bananas. On Connected, we've made a bit of a joke about that. We did a whole episode once that was just breaking news because that day was bananas. But it depends on your show and format, right? That it doesn't matter for Mac Power users. It doesn't usually matter for Liftoff unless a rocket explodes or something really big is announced. But Unconnected and Upgrade and shows like that, is it is a bigger deal. I tend to keep Twitter open while we record just to keep an eye on that sort of thing. But you can't always win. Very often we publish something and then an hour later something happens that sometimes invalidates a whole segment of the show. Like, that's just how life works, and you can't always control that. But we tend to keep an eye on it and try to make a snap judgment. Is this something worth interrupting the show or pushing something out of the show? And often we'll come to the end of a segment, we'll just stop and say, hey, just to us in the live stream, this has happened. This is my 3-second read of it. Do we want to take a second and bring this into the show, or we don't? And so there's nothing wrong with stopping a recording and saying, hey,
yeah,
there's this new factor that we need to look at.
I've done that, and that's as I say, Unconnected, we make it a fun thing. On Upgrade, we'll frequently take a pause, read an article, and bring it into the show. But also in a similar vein, if something happens just before and it's newsworthy, never be so precious of your outline that you're not willing to throw some of it away.
Yep.
If there's something that makes sense for you to actually talk about.
So Ben asks, if a news story or discussion point would fit in multiple podcasts that you host, how do you decide where to talk about it and where not?
This is a problem for me, especially because of Connected and Upgrade, because they both cover the exact same thing. And I have a kind of internal barometer at this point for where I would, if I'm bringing something to a show, which show it goes to. So I kind of, as I was saying earlier, I know what my co-hosts like. I know what fits those shows really well at this point because they've kind of developed into themselves. So if some news breaks, I will know if like that feels like a Connected thing, that feels like an Upgrade thing. But also sometimes there are news stories where they will be big enough that I will be talking about it on Monday and Wednesday. And if that's the case, that quite frequently I will maybe hold back some discussion points or move around some discussion points for where it makes sense. So I'm not having the same conversation multiple times because there are listeners that listen to both things. There will be times where I'll make references or I will double down on a point, but like I do my best to try and keep things fresh for where shows have overlaps in content. But of course, the great thing about Connected is we can talk about the exact same thing. And quite frequently, I kind of just ask the questions and get yours response, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Federico's response. So that's kind of another way that I'll deal with it. Like if we're going to talk about a topic, I'll be like, so what did you think about this? Oh, what do you think about this? And then I just won't give as much input because I've already given my input.
So yeah.
It's a bit of a juggling act, but I actually kind of like that challenge.
Yeah, and I think you do a good job of it. And sometimes we do it for you. We're like, hey, follow out. And sometimes that can be a way to nod to another show. Like
mm-hmm.
there have been times mm-hmm. where, hey, this thing happened, we're not going to talk about it at all, but go check it out over here. Or, yeah, you know, vice versa, whatever it is. Kind of send people various places. All right, so the final question asked by another Steven who's not me.
Many Stevens that are not you, that do spell your name the same way that you do, which is a PH.
The correct way.
Stefan.
So Stefan asks, not every day you sit down to record, you in a great mood or in the right mindset to have a good episode. What things do you do in order to prepare for recording in those situations?
This is what the prep is for. So there are many, I am a human being, and sometimes I feel like crap when I sit down to record an episode. But the preparation is there so I have something to draw from.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of the part before is like, what if I don't even feel in the mood to prepare? I mean, for me, it's different because this is my job. So there is a part of it where it's like, you got to do this, right? Like, this is what people are paying you for. So, you know, and I know that differs from person to person, but if you're asking for how I do of it, that's how I do of it. Like, if I'm sitting down to work on a show and I'm not in the mood, I do have that part of me that's like, there is an expectation for you to do this. So do this, or I will ask for help from my co-hosts, right? And say like, I'm not really in, you know, I need a bit of help today with this.
Sure.
But then the preparation exists. So then when I'm producing the show, which no matter what it is, there's always some element of performance. I have to do my best to make it entertaining. I have the preparation done to help me to be able to put on a good show.
Yeah, I think that's well said. One thing I try to do, even if I'm having a good day, is I try to have a buffer between whatever the last task I was doing and when we start recording. I absolutely hate trying to wrap something up really fast and like jump on a call to record. I need a little bit of a buffer. And so for me, days that I can do that, which is honestly most days, is, you know, 10 or 15 minutes for a show. I've looked over the outline already. I may go inside, hang out with the family for a few minutes, you know, get a glass of water, walk around, listen to some music, trying to create a little bit of a break before I've got to go and record something. I find that really useful, especially on days that aren't going so well, right? I can try to have a buffer between whatever's been frustrating and getting on the horn with, you know, my friends to record a podcast. And so that's something that I've learned over time, is that I need that little bit of break. You know, years ago, before I was independent, I would often be rushing home from work to record. And if I had traffic or something, you know, get stuck at work late, texting y'all frantically, hey, I'm going to be late, I'm 10 minutes away, I would very often come into a recording carrying that anxiety with me, and I think it showed. And so I try to have some breather room before hitting record, and that's been a really good thing for me.
So by now you have your equipment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what your topic's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know if you have a co-host or not and who they're going to be, and you've started preparing for your first episode. On our next show, we're going to talk about recording a demo. So what it takes to sit down and put, like, well, what we'll actually start with is, why is that important? Why is it important to record a demo, especially before the naming of your show? So we're going to talk about that a little bit. And then talk about what it takes to actually put a demo together and what you might want to do once it's recorded, who you might want to share it with, all of that kind of stuff, right? So that's what we're going to be talking about. This isn't necessarily an episode one, that we'll talk about that later on, but a demo episode. So if you have any questions about what it would take to put a demo together, please tweet with the hashtag AskBackstage, or in the RelayFM members Discord, you can use the command, which is the question mark, Ask Backstage, and you can do that anywhere on the Discord and they'll be added in. Or if you have a longer question, please email it to backstage@relay.fm. So until next time, when we ask you to come backstage with us, I'm Mike Hurley. He's Stephen Hackett. Say goodbye, Stephen.
Bye, y'all.